Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing? Good morning. That's great. As I get settled in here, I know a lot of you probably don't know me at all, but my name is Darren. And we've been coming here to this pillar of Jacksonville for the last, this is week four for us. Like, how in the world is this guy up here then preaching? All right? Isn't that kind of crazy? But I want to give you like a little bit of background about me before we kind of jump into the text and everything like that. So I'm Darren, my wife is Tracy. We have four kids, Kennedy, who is 12, Eden is 10, Jack is just turned 9, and then Jude, my dude, is 7. Yeah, so four kids, it definitely keeps us very busy. But Tracy and I have been married for 15 years. I said that like, it's a really long time, 15 years, it is a long time. But it's been absolutely fantastic though as well. So yes, we've been here at Pillar Jacks for the last 4 weeks, but we came from Pillar Okinawa. So we were there for 4.5 years, almost 5 years, and I was an elder there for 4 years as well. And it was an awesome opportunity for us to continue to learn, to grow, to disciple, be discipled, to share life on life, because that is, I think, like really great thing about, well, at least what we've experienced with the Pillar Network and the Praetorian Project, is just to be able to live life on life with military community. And how absolutely beautiful that truly is. But I'm not even a Marine, but I'm Air Force. I chose to come here. You know, when people asked us, like, what we plan on doing after the fact, we said we're going to go to Jacksonville, North Carolina, they're like, why? Like, what's so great about Jacksonville? Well, I was like, I kind of told them what we planned on doing as far as becoming a church planting resident here, kind of continue to learn and grow, continue to be able to finish out seminary. I'm about like halfway through that as well. But it's just, I think it's just fascinating to be able to think about like, why would you come here for a church? Why would you come here to be a part of this family? Guys, we want to be shepherded by you guys. We want to grow alongside you guys. We really do truly care to be able to live life alongside all of you. So currently, I'm still active duty Air Force. I'm doing the SkillBridge program here through Pillar Jacks. To be able to do the church planning residency thing. A funny thing, though, as well, one of my kids, because we've been talking about retirement for the last few years, kind of seeing like what our next step is going to be. We kind of had an idea. We wanted to continue to learn, serve alongside the military community in some type of aspect. So when we're talking with our kids, kind of seeing, they said, Dad, I have a great idea. When you retire, you can become a Marine. I'm like, man. But, no, thank you. no, thank you. So, I'm here, Air Force, living life alongside you guys, Marines, and I'm very excited. I think my family is as well. Even though, yes, we do miss Oki because that plays a very special part in our lives, but we are excited to live life alongside you guys here as well. Now, I know for the kids, there is a lot of kids in here, which is absolutely fantastic. Like, I encourage you guys to draw a picture or something along those lines of the message, like something that you guys pick out from today's sermon or a few key words or anything like that and show me or show Brian or somebody, like show your parents of what you did to be able to kind of see what you learned as well. So today's passage is going to be in Psalms 56. Psalms 56, if you want to start turning your Bibles there. I have a few questions to kind of think about. Are you fearful? Today, Eddie read from Mark, talking about right. Those disciples were fearful in the boat. They were scared. They didn't know who to turn to. But they turned to their Savior. Are we fearful? Are you concerned about what people say about you, what people think about you? Who do you turn to during those situations? During those times when times are tough, who do you turn to? So Psalms 56, I'll be reading the whole thing here. It says, to the choirmaster, according to the dove on far-off Terebinths, a miktam of David, when the Philistines seized him in Gath. Be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me. All day long an attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? All day long they injure my cause. All their thoughts are evil against me. Against me for evil. They stir up strife. They lurk. They watch my steps as they have waited for my life. For their crime will they escape? In wrath cast down the peoples, O God. You have kept count of my tossings. You put tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? I must perform my vows to you, O God. I'll render thank offerings to you, for you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, loving, gracious, Lord Heavenly Father, Lord, how sovereign you are, how beautiful you are. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this word this morning. We pray, Lord, that you would work in our hearts. Stir us up, Lord. Be able to see your beauty just more clearly. Be able to have faith in you. Be able to trust you more completely, Lord. Lord, help us just to continue to renew our minds, Lord, here. Lord, and I just pray for this church, but I also pray for all the churches, Lord. All the churches, Lord, that are gathering this morning, Lord, I pray, Lord, that they worship you, be able to glorify you, be able to make you known, Lord, in their communities. Lord, that you would just stir us up and be able to speak your truth here this morning. Lord, in your holy, precious name, amen. So as we read through this psalm, we see David's heart just pour out his complaint. He sees the struggle that he is going through, what is happening in his life. Right? We can just see his heart just being unfolded. Be gracious to me. I am oppressed. Put my tears in your bottle. Like, who talks like that? But we can feel his passion when he cries out to the Lord. Here in this passage, right, he is in a difficult position. This psalm of lament. And at the beginning part of the psalm, it says that he was seized by the Philistines. Philistines and Gath. So Gath was one of the five largest cities of the Philistine nation. It gave the Israelites a lot of trouble, a lot of trouble. And the city was probably 8 to 9 times bigger than Jerusalem. So in comparison, you think of like Camp Lejeune, like 100,000 people, which is absolutely massive. Then you go like Minot Air Force Base. Does anybody know where Minot is by chance? See, so some people do, North Dakota. But it's super small. Super small. It's just the comparison, just how big the Philistine nation is compared to that. And I'm not saying the Marines are like the Philistines and the Air Force is like. I'm not saying that. But it's just to be able to like comparison size of that. And also, maybe this one for the kids. Does anybody else who knows who from Gath or who came from Gath? Maybe if you think of like a sling and some smooth stones. David versus Goliath. Goliath, he was also from there as well. So you think of this big picture of this massive nation, and this is where David is. But even though right, it says he is seized in Gath, this tone of this psalm is of worry and sadness and fear. But it turns to comfort, to hope, to praise his name. Why? Because of the trust that he has in God. The trust that he has in God. And that's my main idea for this morning. My main idea is to boldly trust in the Lord and walk in the light no matter the circumstances. No matter the circumstances. To boldly trust in the Lord. And then I have 3 points here as well. I have faith in the midst of fear, rest in God's deliverance, and then praise his name. So faith, rest, praise. Just keep it simple. Like that. Faith, rest, praise. So let's just jump right into my first point here. David had many trials throughout his life. Over this past, I'm not sure exactly when they started preaching through the Psalms here, but I think the last few months, and I've just been here for the last few, right? So last week you talked about David with Bathsheba and the struggle that he had, that Nathan had to confront him to be able to do that. Right? He had to confess that. The week before that, had some rebuke. The choir master, like their hearts just weren't right. They weren't worshiping with their whole hearts. And Psalms 46, that's like one of my favorite psalms. The Lord is my refuge and strength, my ever-present help and struggle. Ever-present. He is nearby. He is always there. But David has every reason to be fearful. But he has faith in the midst of fear. Right? He started the psalm, "Be gracious to me," calling out to the Lord for comfort. Because in this world, in this situation, in his circumstance, he has every reason not to be comforted. Throughout this whole psalm, his situation does not change as well. He's still in the same situation. He's still going to be with the Philistines. He's still going to be running from Saul. Right? And there are a few instances in 1 Samuel where it describes his time in Gath. I believe this point here is referring to 1 Samuel chapter 21. And David was on the run from Saul. And Saul was the king of Israel. And you think as a king should be able to comfort his people, that the people should be able to go to him, be able to trust him. But David had no trust in him. He had fear for his life. Saul was prideful. He wanted all the power. He looked around in the world. He saw those other worldly kings as well, and how much he really wanted to he wanted the power. He wanted all the good that came with being a king. And he thought David was a threat. So David had to run away from Israel, his home place, and he went to the Philistines. He wanted to get out of that situation, to find relief from somewhere else. Then in 1 Samuel, when David got there, he was not received well at all. Well, not with welcome arms, but he was pushed away. The people recognized David, because you got to think, like, the Israelites were saying, you know, Saul has killed his thousands. David is tens of thousands. So David was definitely really recognizable as well. He pretended it. And then also he did these, because in his fearful state, he did some things that were just not normal for him as well. Some things that were uncharacteristic to David. He pretended to be insane. Like in this fearful state, he was fearful of this king. He pretended to be insane. Like he had I think it talks about spit dripping down on his beard and doing unnormal things for David, for sure. David went there for comfort, for relief, but he got that cold, stiff arm. And he acted in a way that did not glorify God. The people in Gath were constantly wanting to hurt him. Like when it says, you ever hear that phrase, the sticks and stones might break my bones, but words can never hurt me, right? Like sticks and stones, like David was getting all of it, the sticks and the stones and the words. He was just continually being put down, continually being on the run. Like he always had to be on guard, always looking over his shoulder, always being in a constant state of almost fear. Because again, his circumstances did not change. He had extremely poor circumstances throughout his whole entire running around there at the beginning, trying to find relief, trying to find comfort. Because no comfort from King Saul, his own king, no comfort from the Philistines, constant fighting, the wars, the battles, the running, hardships, fear, but he still had faith in God. Still had faith in God and turned to him in comfort for his ever-present gracious love. Oh, gracious Father, the love that God has. He had faith in the midst of fear because everywhere else was oppression. And it all day long, it says it three times in there, all day long. It wasn't just a temporary thing, but it's continually. Right, guys, he needed to rehearse these truths that he can trust in God. He does not need to fear. Even when his situation is the absolute worst. Being trampled on, evil against him, all day long. The reason why he's able to put his faith in God, because he trusts God. That God that he read about in the Bible. Because you got to think, David didn't even have the whole Bible. He had the first, I'd say maybe 7-8 books of the Bible. But the God anointed him. The God that is holy and just and sovereign. He trusted in the God that brought his people out of Egypt through the wilderness, through the desert, into the promised land. Through it all. And we can go on. And we can even go on for more things that we can see throughout the early Old Testament. Everything he knew about God, he could trust. Everything he knew. You think of, in the first part of it says, to the choir master, the dove on a far-off terebinth. So that tune that the choir master was supposed to lead the congregation in this, because remember a couple weeks ago we talked about the choir master kind of being like the worship leader in their time. And to this tune, I tried to look it up. I couldn't find anything specifically for this tune. But it's supposed to be like, I think it's like a dove and a far off terebinth. So a terebinth is a tree. I think it's like cashews or pistachios in that time are pretty common in that region. And it's a far off tree where a dove is able to find rest, able to find comfort, able to find relief, shade from the heat, protection from the hawks in the air, and whatever else might be crawling on the ground. So I think this tune would be sovereign, would be peaceful, would find, be able to find comfort and rest in it as well. That they would be able to sing this tune, and just through the tune, they'd be able to see the comfort that God is, and just the relief they can get him, that they can put their faith in him, that they can trust their God. No need to fear, but have faith in the Lord. David had faith in his Heavenly Father, knowing that he would provide the protection. Guys, typically our default response is fear. And there are going to be times when we are afraid. But guys, we can trust in God no matter the circumstance and put our faith in him. Because a world full of confusion, hurt, chaos, turmoil, whatever it may be, God is there. God is there, and we can put our faith in him. Now, my second point. We can rest in God's deliverance. Rest in God's deliverance. Rest. David asked a question, what can flesh do to me? What can flesh do to me? In verse 4. After he just listed a complaint and then confidence, then he goes back into what can flesh do to me? All right, and he lists all these different things. Right? It wasn't just a few things either. And again, all day long. But flesh, what can flesh really do? Right? Flesh is used 280 times-ish, depending on the translation in the Bible. And it typically depicts like a state of brokenness. Not permanent, but like a temporary state. With David using this word, this flesh, it's contrasting the temporary standing of his enemies. Temporary standing of the flesh. But he has a lasting deliverance from God. Lasting. This temporary flesh, lasting deliverance from God. David here is reminding himself again that the people that the psalm was written to, the Israelites, that they can find rest, that they are delivered by God and by God alone. The oppression that they receive from the flesh, from man, is temporary. He is not negating the hurt. He's definitely not negating the hurt. He is pouring out his heart, realizing just in his life he is being hurt. But he's also trying to comfort the people as well. Because in the flesh, it's temporary. God is eternal, and God will deliver him. And then in verse 7, it says, there's another question. For their crime will they escape? For their crime will they escape? David cries out for help. Oh, God! Cries out for help. David is seeking justice. God's anger, his wrath, is usually is in response to disobedience. David believes that it is not right for his enemies to triumph over him, whether it is the Philistines or Saul's servants who are trying to kill him. And David cries out several times. Like looking back in Psalms 7:6, something kind of similar. It says, "Arise, O Lord, in your anger. Lift yourself up against the fury of my enemies. Awake for me. You have appointed a judgment." Verse 7, "Oh God, wake up. I need help. Are you there, God?" And what is his response there? "You have kept count of my tossings. Put my tears in your bottle." Put my tears in your bottle. God has been there all along. David recognizes that. He's reminding the people that as well, that God is there. Through all of their hardships, God is present. And God will deliver him. God is the one that will judge those people. But God is through all of this wandering, all of David's hiding, all of his struggles. God has heard him cry. And the imagery of the tears in the bottle, the closeness that is required of that, the intentionality, the care. God cares. He keeps count of all the crying out, all the hurt that you may have. He cares, and he is there. And David here is reminding the people that he cares, that he is ever present, that he is there nearby. I know maybe I would probably wipe some tears, you know, for my kids and Tracy, but probably not, you know, Eddie. Like, I don't know if I'll come wipe your tear, bro. Maybe I would. But right, but it just shows the intentionality that God is there, that God is present, and he truly does care. Comforts. We can find rest in his deliverance. Because God is watching over them. Right? We sing a song called Talk About Sovereignty, how God is sovereign over it all. Right? There is no question that he will deliver us. Because he says, this I know, God is for me. Back in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, it says, this is where Samuel came to Jesse, the father of David, to find a king, the next king. All right, so Jesse gave his oldest son, probably looked like a king, big and strong, had that stature of a king, that presence of a king, and Samuel's like, no. The next son, no. The next son, no. The next son, seven more, seven total, I believe. No. Do you have any more sons? Yes, the one in, right, watching the sheep. And then this is what happened. This first instance of David being recognized in Samuel. It says, Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. This I know, God is for me. Complete trust in his deliverance. Complete trust that he can rest in him, knowing that God is the one that is going to judge, that God will deliver him and has complete rest in him. Because verse 13, it says, for you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that it may walk before God in the light of life. Man, death is definitely something to be fearful, it seems like. A lot of people do fear death. But David does not fear death because God has saved his soul. God has saved his soul. There's nothing that we can do to save our own soul. It is only through God. God is the one who saves. And it's not this temporary state of man or yourself or whatever good works that you try to do. It is only through God. Only through God. And talking about light, the first verse that I think about for light is in John chapter 1, verse 4. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light is life. Talking about Jesus Christ, who he is the light of the world. The light. And it's life. It's life-giving. Without Jesus, there's darkness and death. And then John 8:12 says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. This relationship between with light and life, who Jesus truly is. Talking about who Jesus is. Life. Through him is life. Because you got to think, like, whenever the power goes out, what is the first thing we do? Especially if it's dark outside, right? You turn on your flashlight. Where are the flashlights? Go get a candle, whatever it may be. Like, we need light in our life. Through it all, through all those struggles, through all those turmoils, through all the things, who do we turn to? Where's our light? Are we seeking out Jesus? Is he our light? Is he our light of our world? Guys, because it's only through Jesus Christ that we can be saved. Without Jesus, we would be in the dark. David knew there was nothing that he could do, right, to change his circumstances. But he still had rest for his soul because of what God has done through it all. Because Jesus, it's all about who Jesus is, to make him known. Jesus was sent to be our rescuing king who died on the cross because of our sins. David's sins, our past, our present, and future sins. It's all of them. It's Jesus who died, who was buried, and rose again, and he is coming back. Right? This I know. This I know, that Jesus is the light. The flesh is temporary, but Jesus is the light. That he is eternal. He is eternal. Therefore, if you are with Jesus Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and the behold, the new has come. And Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, there is no condemnation. There is nothing that you can do to squander that. It's all because of what Jesus Christ has done. And he is keeping you. He plays for keeps. It's all through him. Then because of faith in him and rest in his deliverance, my third point is to praise his name. Praise his name. David was not ashamed to give all the glory to God. It's all to him we owe. There are three times in the short Psalms, David declares the greatness of God's word. Three times. I think that kind of means something in this 13 short verses. Three times. The greatness of God's word. Because God's word is powerful. Obeying God's word is for our good and his glory. It gives him the glory, and it puts us in our state where we need to be. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, discerning the thoughts of the heart." The sword is meant for a purpose. It's just not to slice and dice, but it's intentional. It gets down into our innermost being. The word of God touches our very souls, our very heart, our innermost workings. It cuts for a purpose. It reveals the heart. It prunes the heart. It's intentional. Because you got to think of man's word versus God's word. God, if you look, even just look through these short verses, what does man's word do? Put down, discourage, instill fear. But what is God's word? It's intentional. It's purposeful. It's encouragement. As we need to be in his word continually. Because a lot of times we focus on our current situation, our current circumstance, whatever it may be. Sometimes we need to take the blinders off and get into his word and see the whole picture. David's situation, it never changed throughout all of this. His circumstance has not changed. He's still going to be on the run. The next chapter in First Samuel chapter 22 talks about David then running to a cave. David runs and hides in a cave, but he still has faith in the midst of fear. He rests in God's deliverance from the darkness to the light, and he is praising him even when his circumstances are absolutely terrible. Then I love this in verse 12. It says, "I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thank offerings to you." Recognizes who he belongs to, and that he will render thank offerings as well. That future tense, the will. He is praising God now, and he's going to praise God in the future because he is boldly trusting in the Lord and walking in the light of God's deliverance, and he will continue to praise him no matter the circumstance. And the thing is, the Lord deserves to be praised. Under every aspect of our life, no matter what our circumstances are, we can still praise his name. Now, I think there are two things that we can do this week to make it intentional. Be able to get into his word. If we were able to just take Psalms 56 and read it a couple times throughout the week. And just kind of see how it works in your heart, how it pierces to your inner heart, to your inner soul, how it can be able to transform your life. Take the time to be in his word and see what God says. To see what God says. Then the next one, the second thing that we could do, is to pray for a friend or a loved one. I'm sure some of you guys may know that somebody is hurting. Somebody is in this constant state of fear, somebody that is having, their circumstances are absolutely terrible. Pray for them. Pray with them if you're able to. And how beautiful that can truly be. If we know somebody that, like that, that we can go to and pray for them. And I know I don't know all of you, but I'm sure there are people in this room as well Maybe your circumstances are not all that great. Right? I'm sure some of you can relate to the hardships that you may be going through. I understand the military life. I understand the stress that can put on a marriage, the hardships that can be with kids, the struggle through work and the different things in a very secular world, how the world can easily draw us in. And it seems that it'll never stop all day long. And I know I joked at the beginning being the Air Force guy, becoming a Marine, but my hope for each one of you guys is that we'd be able to know Jesus more every day in our lives. Be able to know him more and be able to make him known. Now, if you are going through a hard time, don't be afraid to reach out as well. Take one of those brothers or sisters along with you through this hard time. Don't take it alone. That's not what we talk about being a family. Let's be our family. Through the good times, through those hard times, through those tears, wipe those tears. I don't know if you ever want to share something or talk with somebody, there are people here that are willing to come alongside you. I like coffee. Tracy likes coffee more than I do. Reach out. Guys, we can boldly trust in God because God is for you. He is gracious to you. He sent his die on the cross for your sins, just like he died for David's sins. And we can be in the light. We can walk in the light because he is the light, no matter the circumstance. Let's pray, guys. Father, how gracious you are. How loving you are, Lord, for giving us your word. But how beautiful your word is that we can come to it, Lord, and see the beauty, seek the comfort, find rest. Lord, I thank you so much, Lord, for it, that we can be able to trust in you. Trust in you, Lord, because of what you have done, Lord. Lord, help us continue to work in our lives, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for continued deliverance. And Lord, that we can praise your name today and throughout this rest of the week, Lord. In your holy, precious name, Jesus. Amen.